Well, we've been talking about priorities to start off the new year, appropriately so, right? This is the time of year we take stock of things and think about priorities and goals. Matthew 6:33 has been kind of a theme verse for us here recently, and I'm going to read you again my grandfather's paraphrase of that one. Give first priority to Jesus Christ and the values of his kingdom, and everything else will turn out all right. We've talked generally about making God first priority in our lives. We've talked specifically last week about making him first priority in our financial lives. And I want to continue with this New Year's goal-setting theme today. Of course, we know that one of the biggest New Year's resolutions that people in our culture make is goals about getting healthier in the new year, right? We're going to exercise more and eat less. We're going to watch less TV and read more books. We're going to get outside more, these kinds of things. We think about doing things to get healthier. Well, it turns out that this desire to get healthier fits right in with this call to give first priority in our lives to Jesus Christ and the values of his kingdom. Because when we dig into Scripture, we find that the Bible carries within it a prescription for our health. The Bible carries within it a prescription for our health. Healthy living is one of the values of Jesus' kingdom. The God who created us wants us to be healthy. So as we continue this New Year's goal-setting theme, I thought it would be worthwhile to explore the concept of healthy living together here over this week and next week. I've mentioned to you that our deacon board is doing a 100-day prayer right now, and part of that prayer that we're lifting up to God every day involves asking him to move Calvary into being more and more a healthy, united church body. And we've been praying specifically that God would make all of us healthy physically, socially, spiritually, and emotionally. Physically, spiritually, socially, and emotionally. What does it look like to be healthy in all four of those areas? We're going to look at that and what the Bible's prescription for healthy living is today. Okay, so physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, social health. Today we're going to concentrate on physical health and emotional health. And I'm going to say this morning and again next week as we go through these things. I likely will hit a nerve or two. You may feel like I'm talking about you, but really, I'm talking about all of us. There's not one person in here who is going to be perfectly healthy in all four of these areas. And we're all people in progress. We all have our strong areas and our weak areas. So if I start talking about an area that you are weak in, understand that you're not alone. There will be other people in the room who have the same weakness that you do. And if there are people in the room who are strong in the areas that you are weak in, don't worry, because I'm probably going to trip on their weak things too over the course of the next 2 weeks. There are things on this list to talk about here today that I struggle with today, that I continue to struggle with. There are some things on this list that I used to really struggle with. So this little two-part sermon, I'm guessing, is going to hold some conviction for all of us. And these sermons are not preached to induce guilt, but instead preached with the goal of having us all moving towards being healthier people. Okay, so here we go. I have more to say this morning about emotional health than physical health, so we're going to dig in with the larger topic first, emotional health. Of course, we understand these days that some emotional health issues that people struggle with are due more to chemical imbalances in the brain than they are necessarily from wrong thinking or incorrect attitudes. And that makes sense. You know, one thing that we comment on up here on a regular basis is how easy it is to see God's design in creation, how easy it is to see his design in the creation in us, and then also how easy it is to see the brokenness in creation. And one example that came to mind as I was writing this, Jeanette Burns' little niece, Tirza, who was born with those intestines outside of her stomach. Okay, we can look at intestines and stomach, and we can see the design of God. We know how they're supposed to work, what their function is, where they're supposed to be, and it's the work of an amazing designer. But sometimes, in this world, things don't work the way they are obviously designed to work, like in Tirza's case. And again, the Bible says that when sin entered the world, the whole created order was cursed. One day it's going to be redeemed, but until then we all encounter brokenness to some degree in our physical bodies. So why would it be any different then with the chemicals that make our brains go? to expect that they all will work perfectly. No, some things are going to be off there too on occasion. The medical field has come up with some medications that can help. It ain't perfect, is it? These drugs have side effects. But there are some meds that can help. You know, though, even for people, I think, who receive diagnoses of having some sort of emotional chemical imbalance, I wouldn't look only to medicine for help. My guess is that these emotional issues are usually a grand mix of things. Chemical imbalances, maybe some incorrect thinking, getting stuck on things from the past, perhaps even somewhat the result of not being physically healthy, spiritually healthy, socially healthy. I believe there are layers to these things. They all intertwine. And that a multifaceted attack is the best course of action. So yeah, go to the doctors who can help medically, but also get professional counseling. Pray to the great physician who is wiser than any human doctor and more able. Seek spiritual guidance. Make sure there's no demonic influence involved. Seek to get healthy in all the areas of your life. We humans are complicated creatures. And all of these things can be intertwined within us. So if you're struggling with emotional health, I would think that attacking it on all of these areas, all these levels would be wise. By the way, there's absolutely no shame in going to see a counselor. I remember sitting in the waiting room the first time I ever went in for counseling. And I tell you, I felt awkward and embarrassed to be there. And in my head, I'm like, you're not crazy. You don't need this stuff. Well, after a few sessions with that counselor, my attitude completely changed. I said, man, why wouldn't anyone want to have counseling? It's like someone else to come alongside you and help you figure out the challenges in your life. It can be very, very helpful, and there's absolutely no shame in it. Anyway, at the outset here, I just wanted to point out that some of these emotional health things that we deal with are beyond our control, and I'm not here to talk about those things. I'm here to talk about the things when it comes to emotional health that perhaps we can do something about. So let's start out with what I believe to be the most vital of all the things I'm going to mention here today. More than anything else, if we want to get emotionally healthy, we need to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. We need to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So here are three important things about you from this little passage in Genesis Chapter 1. You are made in God's image. You are no slouch. You are made in the very likeness of the creator of the universe. Not bad. Number two, you were made to rule. Not only are we humans made in God's image, but he made us godlike in this respect as well. We're given responsibility in this world. You were made to rule. Number three, you are, in God's assessment, very good. You are high on his worth scale. So these are good things. What else does the Bible tell us? God knows the number of hairs on our head. It's Luke 12:7. He knows your thoughts. He knows when you sit down and when you rise. That's Psalm 139:2. He loves you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So his son died to save you. He loves you. And just in case if you're tempted to think that God so loved the world means that God came for others but not you, remember that beautiful story in Matthew 18 about how God would leave the 99 sheep and go after that one lost sheep. He loves every individual. He loves you. And God has plans and purposes for you. Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Take that along with Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 12 about how each person is an important member in the body of Christ. We each will be given our own important task in the kingdom if we seek after it. So each individual is important and loved. More than anything else, if you want to achieve emotional health in your life, you need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You are of great worth. It is God only who determines your worth, not human opinion. You are known by him. You are loved by him. He has a purpose for you that you will discover if you seek it and put him first in your life. You were created to be a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. You can't be king. We already got one. But you were created to rule, to be a prince or a princess in the kingdom, full of dignity and honor. We're talking about you and all of this. Don't let other human beings determine your worth. If they suggest to you that you are worthless, they are wrong. Don't let Satan whisper to you that you are not worthwhile or not special. At his very core, he is a liar. You are a masterpiece from the hands of God. That is the truth. And you know, you need to keep drilling that into your head until you not only know it, but you start to feel it, because it's the truth. Emotional health starts with seeing yourself the way God sees you. Are there other things to think about here that might be within our control that could lead us to becoming more emotionally healthy people? Yeah. If you let God fill you up, you'll stop acting like a vacuum. If you let God fill you up, you'll stop acting like a vacuum. When we're emotionally unhealthy, sometimes we behave like vacuum cleaners. It might look like this. You run into someone who shows you some kindness, but you have so much emptiness inside of you that you kind of end up sucking that person dry with your need for attention until they've got nothing left for you. When people are emotionally unhealthy, sometimes we behave like vacuum cleaners. Or it might look like this. You might actually prey upon people to fill your void. It may not be consciously malicious, but in the end, this is what it is. Out of your desperation, people around you become targets for you to try to suck life out of in some way. You use them to try to meet your needs, but guess what? Your emptiness doesn't go away from this kind of behavior. Or it might look like this. You might suck up alcohol or cigarettes or drugs as a way to distract you from the void in your life. These things also have an impact on your physical health, which is the second topic for later today. But I think that this is largely an emotional issue, at least at the start. I think it is typically the emotional need that drives people to abuse substances. When you're emotionally unhealthy, you behave like a vacuum cleaner. When you let God fill you up and you begin to feel full, you stop acting like a vacuum cleaner. We talked about God's plan for you. We need to be on that path. You know, things don't typically happen quickly with the Lord. We know that. But this path will be the best one for you. If you give him first priority in your life, Matthew 6:33, he will begin to provide for you one way or another, depending upon your circumstances and your stage in life. He can fill your void. When you get your worth and your meaning and your love and your purpose and your provision from God, you start to become emotionally healthy. And then you can stop sucking life out of other people, because God is giving you life. You don't need to suck life out of others because you're starting to feel full. And you can have a more normal give and take with other people. When you start to get emotionally healthy, you won't need to use people or target them for your selfish needs. When you start to get emotionally healthy, you start to realize that you can do life without the substances. John chapter 4, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." If you let God fill you up, you'll stop behaving like a vacuum. What else can we do to become more emotionally healthy? Don't get stuck in the past. You know, you know this by now. Amazing grace. This is a God of many, many do-overs. Lamentations 3:22-23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His mercies are new every morning. Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." There will always be earthly consequences for our past mistakes, and some of them may hang around. But with God, you can start over each day. That's how great His grace is for us. You can redefine yourself today. Set out on a new path today because of God's great love. If you're letting your past mistakes define who you are, then you have not experienced fully the freedom that comes with making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. He can still move you into being that prince or princess in the kingdom of God that you were originally intended to be. You can shed that past and let Him make you into something new. And wouldn't that feel good emotionally to no longer have to look at yourself as some sort of failure? Don't get stuck in the past. All right, I'm going to suggest to you some other signs that you may have a little work to do to become healthier emotionally. Next one is, do you isolate yourself? Hey, some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. And that's the way God created us, and that's appropriate. But I really do not believe that anyone was created to be completely isolated. We need other people. Now, I get it. People can be hard to deal with. I heard there was a Lacaparal teacher who recently quit in order to go work with animals instead because he said animals are easier to deal with. And, you know, it can be true. Relationships with people can be hard. You risk getting hurt when you open yourself up to being in relationship with people. But we need to do this. There was a study published last April in Perspectives in Psychological Science that found that loneliness was predictive of death, particularly for people under the age of 65. I'm reading this now from an article on that study. The study synthesized the findings of 70 scientific publications that altogether included more than 3 million participants, and the authors found that loneliness, social isolation, and living alone were factors in explaining early death. Don't you know there's wisdom from God behind His setting up of the church? We need each other. The church ain't perfect. We're still people. We will still hurt each other from time to time. But you know, the church ought to be the best chance that you have in the world of finding a group of people who will truly love you and care about you and be family with you. And we need this in our lives. You need to not let yourself become isolated. Keep pushing yourself to be involved and to build relationships with people. You have to risk in order to get the reward. And remember that it takes time to build relationships. It really takes time. We'll talk more about this subject next week when we talk about social health. But if you want to get more emotionally healthy, don't let yourself be isolated. Another sign that you might need to get more emotionally healthy, do you find yourself having a victim mentality? Is it always somebody else's fault? Do you spend your days recalling all the ways other people did you harm? Do you feel powerless to impact your own situation? If so, I see two problems in this quickly. The first is that you are likely not looking enough at your own responsibility for your situation. There are times when things happen to us in our lives that are completely outside of our control, but usually we at least bear some responsibility for the situations that we find ourselves in. And since you are responsible before God for your actions and not the actions of others, it really is our own actions that we should be focusing upon. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So don't ignore the part that you played. Confess it. Secondly, aren't you giving the memories of these people in those situations too much power in your life? Somebody trampled on you. It hurt. Shouldn't have been that way. But you're not powerless going forward. Remember Genesis 1. We have responsibility in this world. We were given it. We can do things. We're not powerless. And when you have a strong relationship with God, you have someone else at your side who most certainly has the ability to do things and to change things. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you are not powerless when you walk with God. Don't be a victim. Take responsibility. Move forward with the Lord in positive healing directions. And as we said earlier, don't get stuck in the past. Don't be a victim. Okay, similar to that one. Don't hold on to grudges or wounds. Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Again, somebody hurt you. It shouldn't have happened. It hurt. But it remains your responsibility as a follower of Christ to seek to heal with that person. Boy, 9 times out of 10, I think true forgiveness should result in reestablishing a relationship with that person who hurt you. Talk it out, truly forgive and heal. On occasion, there are situations where there's someone who has hurt you where you it would not be appropriate for you to get back into a relationship with that person. But that's the rare circumstance. I would say 9 times out of 10, forgiveness should mean getting back into relationship. Boy, when the Lord forgives us, he doesn't do so from a distance, does he? He gets right back into relationship with us. So if you want to be emotionally healthy, take a look and see if you were holding on to any grudges or wounds. Work through them, forgive, release them, and move forward. Two more quick ones, and these also are very similar to each other. Do you have a critical spirit? Do you have a critical spirit? If so, I would suggest you might need to do some healing emotionally. Are you continually finding fault in other people? Is nothing ever good enough? Maybe this even shows up when you go out to restaurants or stores. You're always finding something to be upset about. Maybe you've developed an obsession with criticizing the government. Do you find yourself always feeling angry and upset? If so, I'm going to suggest to you that something's not right. One of the fruit of having the Holy Spirit at work in you is peace. And we've seen over the last few months how central a fruit this is. When God is the one who determines our worth, the one who provides for us, the one who guides our steps, the one who will make everything right in the end, you should be able to experience peace in your life. If you're angry and upset all the time, something is off. Seek to get more emotionally healthy. You don't need to point out the wrong in everything. What a tiring exercise that is. You're never going to run out of things to point out, right? There's always something wrong in this imperfect world. What is it emotionally within you that's causing you to routinely be critical? Is there some hurt in there that is causing you to lash out? Is it possible you haven't grounded your self-worth in God's love, and so you're trying to establish your own worth by pointing out deficiencies in others? I don't know, but it seems to me that there is likely some sort of emotional healing that needs to take place. We're to be positive people as Christ followers, people who look for the good. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up." Loves to be patient and kind, says 1 Corinthians 13. Another one of those fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. If you want to be emotionally healthy, work to change a critical spirit. The last one's only slightly different. Do you have a complaining spirit? And again, if so, I'm thinking maybe some emotional healing needs to take place. And this shifts now more to how we're reacting to our circumstances in life. Are you regularly complaining about your job, about your coworkers, about your family, about your church, about the city that you live in or your house? Is the weather always too hot or too cold? Is there always some health issue to complain about? Hey, it's a similar deal. There's always going to be something to complain about. Living in this world is difficult. And all of us do complain from time to time. But if you find that you're complaining an awful lot, then maybe there's some emotional healing that needs to take place in you. What is it inside of you that's causing you to focus so much on the negative? Work to discover what that is and try to weed it out. Paul said in Philippians 4 that I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. There's that vine and the branches thing again. And Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, and you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Let's not be complainers. Next week, we'll talk about social health. And you know, if you want to have a healthy social life, and I say this in love, I say this to help you if this is your weak area. Remember, we all have weak areas. If you want to have a healthy social life, work to get rid of your complaining. A complaining spirit and a critical spirit is not going to help you in making friends. Do you want to become more emotionally healthy in 2016? If so, start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Seriously, know it and feel it. If you let God fill you up, you will no longer act like a vacuum. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't let yourself be isolated. Don't be a victim. Don't hold on to grudges and wounds. Work to change a critical spirit if you have one, and don't be a complainer. Well, I don't have a whole lot to tell you about physical health today. You know, there are plenty of TV shows and magazines and books that remind us and inform us about our need to be physically healthy, right? Our doctors and our loved ones tell us these things, and you know a lot about it already. But I'll make a few comments. Just like emotional health, there are things when it comes to our physical health that are outside of our control. We know that. Even those who are very diligent about exercising and eating right still get diseases, right? Eventually, all of our bodies will succumb to death. And these things that are outside of our control need to be given over to the Lord in prayer. There's nothing outside His control. I'm not going to delve into the topic of physical healing by God here today, other than to say that we know that God can and does heal. And we know that sometimes His answer is not yet. In the end, we need to say like Jesus did, "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord." But we are asked to pray for the things that are on our hearts and minds and on our needs, and we are asked to know that He can and does heal. So some things are beyond our control when it comes to our physical health, but we also know that there are some things that we can do to help our bodies function well. And just like with emotional health, many of these things overlap. Exercising and being physically healthy can help your emotional health. Becoming more emotionally healthy can help your physical health. They intertwine. What are the things that we ought to be thinking about when it comes to becoming more physically healthy? I think one thing that probably ought to be mentioned is the need to live a lifestyle that is balanced in terms of work life, home life, and spiritual life. Balance between work and rest. Remember the conversations that we've had about the Sabbath requirements in the Old Testament and the intention behind that law that informs us that our Creator thinks that we need to be scheduling time for rest for our bodies and time for us to focus on the Lord and on family. These things are important for our well-being. Are you stressed out all the time? Are you working more than you should? The stuff will take a toll on your health. And yes, I'm aware that my wife is in the back saying amen right now. So we need a balanced lifestyle in order to be physically healthy. And of course, we all know about the need to be eating a healthy diet and exercising on a regular basis. We know that exercise helps with weight loss and the prevention of weight gain, but the Mayo Clinic tells us that exercise also helps us prevent heart disease and stroke and diabetes and depression and some cancers and arthritis and the risk of falling over. Regular exercise can boost your confidence and your self-esteem. It can give you more energy in your life in general. It helps. Yeah, we're having church today. My goodness. Oh, funny. Exercise can give you more energy in life. It can help you sleep better, etc., etc. The Mayo suggests 30 minutes of exercise a day. But they say that even if you can't do a full-blown workout, simple things like maybe walking to church and work instead of driving can help. Maybe not this morning, walking to church. So even if we set aside the biblical encouragements towards healthy living, I think we can find plenty of motivation to live physically healthy lifestyles. But what does the Bible say about living healthy physically? It's actually not a ton. Proverbs 23, verses 20 to 21, warns us against regular overeating and excess. 1 Corinthians 6 reminds us that as believers, our bodies are now the temples of the Holy Spirit, and we are to honor God with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 9 You might remember that, this passage where Paul talks about beating his body and making it his slave, indicating that the Christian walk is one of discipline. Now, I think he's talking more there about not giving in to sin, but I believe that this discipline characteristic is something that should be translated into all areas of our lives. You know, for me, the motivation to be physically healthy is simply to take care of the gifts that God has given us, the gift of our bodies. I want to be responsible with this body that he gave me. And you know, if we know that certain behaviors are harmful to our bodies and we engage repeatedly in those behaviors, there we have to talk a bit there about a degree of irresponsibility. As those who seek to honor God, I think we need to be sensitive to those things. Now, you have to decide how strictly you're going to get after this stuff. I do enjoy me a good Kennedy Bakery donut or two from time to time. Okay, we want to enjoy life too. But I do think that doing the things you know you should be doing to make your body physically healthy and not doing the things that you know will make your body physically unhealthy, to some degree, this ought to be a part of a Christian lifestyle. So our deacon board has been praying for our church to become healthier as an institution and as individuals. And now today, some verbal encouragement from your pastor to all of us to seek to become healthier emotionally and physically. We'll hit that social and spiritual topic next week. I hope I haven't stepped on toes this morning. It's not the intention. The intention is simply to encourage us all to move towards healthier living and being. And we've seen this is not just a self-help pep talk either, is it? The Bible prescribes these things for us. God, our Maker, wants us to be healthy. And why would he not? Just like in the arena of sin and righteousness, none of us is perfect in this arena of healthy living. Okay, there are goals that are set for us, and probably none of us will ever fully reach all of these things in perfection in this world, but we can take steps towards those goals. And just like with all of the standards that God has set out for us, we discover that these standards of healthy living are set there for our benefit, and we will be better off by seeking to attain them. So as we are setting goals for 2016, I ask you to consider these things. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord, Father, we see the design, your amazing design in this world, and we see the brokenness. And we can see the design in our own lives, in our bodies, and we experience the brokenness there too, in our lives and in our bodies and in our minds. Father, it can be a difficult world to navigate. There are people who will put us down, hurt us, tell us we're worthless. Sometimes it gets hard to know how to respond. Sometimes these things just beat us down and we get messed up in our own heads. And all these things, though, Lord, we can look to your word for answers. We've seen some of them today. We've seen that we can start to become emotionally healthy when we really understand how you look at us. When we really understand who we are, who you say we are. We can start to become emotionally healthy when we let you fill us up with your love and your provision and your purpose. So help us to do this, Father. Help us to desire to be responsible with our bodies that you have gifted to us. Assist us. It's not easy. Assist us in doing our part and treating them well by living physically healthy lifestyles. Lord, I believe that you created us for healthy living and for being able to experience capital L life coursing through our veins. And I believe that to some extent this is still available to us in this broken world, and I pray that we will all be able to access that. And then, Lord, I know that one day we will all walk the streets of heaven with you, and we will feel life in the way it was originally intended, your good life moving through us unhindered and in great power. And that will be a good day. In the meantime, Lord, be united with us. May we be branches attached to the vine and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray this in your name. Amen.